And let us turn in God's Word to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, we will be reading together the whole of the chapter, looking specifically beginning at verse 17 through the end of the chapter, 18 through the end of the chapter, as our text this morning, continuing where we left off last Lord's Day. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, and who devise plans but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people who could not benefit them, or be help or benefit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden against the beasts of the south. Through a land of trouble and anguish, from which came the lioness and lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent, they will carry their riches on their backs of young donkeys, and their treasures on the humps of camels, to a people who shall not profit, for the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore I have called her Rahab Hem Shebeth. Now go, write it before them on a tablet, and note it on a scroll, that it may be for a time to come, forever and ever, that this, a rebellious people, is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the word of the Lord, or the law of the Lord, who say to seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits, get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And he shall break it like a breaking of a potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so there shall not be found among its fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth, or to take water from the cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. And you said, no, for we will flee on horses. Therefore you shall flee, and we will ride on swift horses. Therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one, at the threat of five you shall flee, till you are left as a pole on top of a mountain, as a banner on a hill. And this is where we'll begin today for our text. Therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you. At the sound of your cry, when he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner any more. But your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. You will also defile the covering of your images of silver and the ornament of your molded images of gold. You will throw them away as an unclean thing. You will say to them, get away. Then he will give the rain for your seed with which you sow the ground, and bread of the increase of the earth. It will be fat and plentiful in that day. Your cattle will feed in large pastures. Likewise, the oxen and the young donkeys that work the ground will eat cured fodder, which has been winnowed with the shovel and fan. There will be on every high mountain and on every high hill rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day of the Lord, the day that the Lord binds up the bruise of his people and heals the stroke of their wound. Behold, the name of the Lord comes from afar, burning with his anger, and his burden is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue like a devouring fire. His breath is like an overflowing stream, which reaches up to the neck to sift the nations with a sieve of futility. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. You shall have a song, as in the night when a holy festival is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goes with the flute, to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. The Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard, and show the descent of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be beaten down as he strikes with a rod, and in every place where the staff of punishment passes, which the Lord lays on him, it will be with tambourines and harps, and in battles of brandishing he will fight with it. For Tophet was established of old. Yes, for the king it is prepared. He has made it deep and large. Its pyre is fire with much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstones, kindles it. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we looked at God's word last week, we were reminded of man's propensity, man's norm, that we reject God's word. That we want man's help, that we want help from the things that we see with our eyes and the abilities which we have as human beings. At that time in history, one of the things spoken of is Egypt, which was a great nation. But we were told that Egypt was not going to be any help. Or perhaps strong horses, swift horses, would be a help for Israel. And of course, God says, I'm going to make your enemies swifter. We heard a little bit about this in our call to worship this morning. The psalmist says, God, we listen to your word, and yet you have cast us off. And of course, the psalmist would have been one of those who was a priest who was seeking to hear and to speak the word of God that the Israelites didn't want to listen to. And so God brought great calamity on them. God brought judgment on Israel. And yet God promises as well that he will bring them back. He will bring Judah back from the destruction which they deserved, and that God would bring back Israel, even some of them, out of the captivity which they were being sent into, as Isaiah is writing. And so the theme that we look at in God's word is, though God's people sought their hope elsewhere, God promises his gracious blessing in the midst of the destruction of their enemies. Though God's people sought their hope elsewhere, God promises his gracious blessing in the midst of the destruction of their enemies. God is sovereign. And yes, Israel and Judah would receive the correction that they deserved. And quite honestly, the Bible tells us that many of these people did not go to heaven because they would not listen to God. But that God would bring back the people of Judah and some of those of Israel back to himself. And we have to see in this ourselves, our own propensity to not listen to God, to seek our hope, our help in this world. And so as we look at this passage, last week we saw that God's people shut their ears to God's help and run to man. This week, the Lord willing, we'll look in verses 18 through 22 that the Lord allows his people to be tested, but he guides them in right paths of blessing. And then in verses 27 through 33, we see that the Lord's people will rejoice at the destruction of their enemies. So first of all, we see the people of Israel, that they are tested. And we're tested. We have to understand that. God allows us to be tested. The Lord says that He will be exalted in being gracious to them. And we have to realize this. What is this about? What is our salvation about? As human beings, we make it about fire insurance for me, right? I get salvation. Brothers and sisters, first of all, salvation is about God's glory. My salvation is, quite honestly, tertiary. Now, it's pretty important to me, don't get me wrong. But we as human beings need to be here about God's glory as Christians, not just about me and my fire insurance. God allows His people to be tested. This earth, as the Heidelberg Catechism puts it, is a veil of tears. We're going to spend a lot of time crying here. It's broken because of sin. And we need to understand that. But God hears our cry. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says that God will not allow us to be tested beyond what we are able to bear, but with that testing will bring a way of escape. Before that, he says, no testing which he puts upon you is new, is foreign to man, but is common to all of us. And we as Christians should be in a huddle helping one another instead of pointing and laughing and complaining about people's sins. We need to embrace one another in love. That is a way in which God helps His people. The Lord will be exalted in being gracious to Israel and will be exalted in being gracious to us because Jesus came into this world to save sinners. God is a God of justice. That is why Israel could not continue on in their ways. That they were worshiping false God. They were sacrificing their children to Moloch. By the way, when we hear about Tophet at the end of the chapter, that's where Moloch was worshipped. Where they would burn babies. Sounds familiar, kind of like abortion nowadays. The Lord is a God of justice. He would not allow that to continue. But He says, blessed are all those who wait for Him. We need to wait on God's justice instead of taking it into our own hands. God is the just, final judge of the universe. And the people who dwell in Zion and Jerusalem will weep no more. He will be very gracious to you when He hears your cry. He will answer. God hears our prayers. Following the encounter with the Assyrians at the doors of Jerusalem, the Judeans and those of Jerusalem rejoiced greatly. But this prophecy points beyond this eventuality. It points us to heaven when God will wipe every tear away from our eyes. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, He says, your teachers will not be shoved aside. Remember what was said. They said, prophesy to us smooth things. Make life sound good, even if it's not. And God often provides the bread of adversity, the water of affliction to His people. God allows hardship in this world. And especially there in Israel and Judea, as they had been walking away from God. And by the way, when we walk away from God, God often sends hardship. I had a friend from high school that was saying, why is God so mean to me? As he walked away from what he had been brought up in as a Christian. Well, I can tell you, God's calling you back. And often the fact of, hardship pushes education aside. We don't need that. But in the midst of this, God says they're going to learn and they're going to listen to God's leadership, to God's word, to God's preaching. God will guide His people in right paths of blessing. When they're turning to the left hand or the right, God says, you're going to hear a word from behind you. God's Spirit working in them. This is the way. Walk in it. God uses our consciences. Conviction by God as we consider and sin is a gift of God to us. Saying God doesn't want you to walk in evil, in bad ways. But calling us back to the narrow way. God says the things that are going to happen to Israel and to Judea is going to change them. They're going to defile their images. They're going to throw them away. Judah and Israel had been seduced by many false gods, many images. And I'm sorry to say, I think it's true in our own culture today and in the church today. I want to run after this. I want to run after that. When things are preached instead of God and God's Word. And by the way, when we ourselves, as Calvin said, are idol factories, we can make something more important than God anywhere. Following the captivity, they would not have any taste for those false gods. They had been forced, remember Daniel, to bow down before stupid images. And seeing that caused them to be broken of the desire to bow down before images. And brothers and sisters, while false gods today often do not have the images that we might think of then, we as well need to be very careful. What are we putting our trust in? What is our hope? Our hope needs to be in God. And it's an immense step, but it seems a very small step to go from trusting God to use the thing on this earth to trusting the thing itself. And God says, then He will give the rain for your seed, to provide the fat and plentiful for cattle feed in large pastures. Because Judah had walked away from their false images, their false gods, God would provide these promises. I think it's interesting how He talks about the food for oxen and young donkeys will be the best winnowed food. Instead of the leftovers, instead of the trash, God said He would provide the best for even the cattle in Israel. And notice as well, there will be on every high mountain and every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Where do we think of streams? You go down in the valley. God says, I'm going to put the streams and the rivers on the top of the hills. The water's going to be provided well everywhere. Obviously not a flood is the perspective here, but providing great amounts of water necessary for the crops. And the light of the sun and the moon will be 7 times greater than normal in the day of the Lord. Life. Have you ever had life days where everything seemed just dreary and dim and hard? Well, for Israel, as they went through these hardships caused by their own sins, and by the way, I'm not saying that that's the only reason that we have hardships, but oftentimes we do need to consider, what have we done? Lord, have I failed? Am I sinning in some way? But when that load is taken off of our back, we need to understand the beauty of the loss of that weight, that life feels light and easy. And all of a sudden, light is more powerful. And so as Israel was dealing with the fact that they were under the persecution, under the danger of the Assyrians, in the midst of sieges, in the midst of hardships, light had gotten dim for them. Brothers and sisters, easily on this earth, as we walk as pilgrims in this broken world, life can become hard, difficult to carry. And brothers and sisters, we need to bring that to the foot of the cross and say, Lord, Your burden is light. Your yoke is easy. Help us to rely on You, not on ourselves, not on our abilities. And then truly, when we truly do that, even hard things become light. And we have to see then that as well, Israel would rejoice at the destruction of their enemies. The Lord will come with anger and indignation against the enemies of Israel. Israel asked, Lord, why are You letting these enemies, these nasty, horrible people, destroy Israel? Rightly so. Aren't we better than they? Well, first of all, they weren't. But second of all, God will destroy His enemies. And we have to understand that God would justly judge the Assyrians. God would justly judge the Babylonians that came in against Israel for their going above and beyond that which He was going to allow them to do. But behold, the name of the Lord comes from afar, burning with His anger, full of indignation. God's anger would be brought, His justice would be brought against the Assyrians and the Babylonians. His breath, like an overflowing stream, reaching up to their necks, sifting the nations with the sieve of futilities. God will blow down the nations by the breath of His word. By the way, that also pictures the going of God's word into the ends of the earth. He will sift the nations with the sieve of futility. The things which unbelieving man runs after are totally useless. If you think about Ecclesiastes, if we are running after anything but God and His glory, we are really trying to grasp at air. And there will be a bridle that holds them in this. Paul writes that God gives them strong delusion to believe a lie. That because they wouldn't follow after God, they can't figure out what's true and what's false. The Lord will, on the other hand, bring a song of joy to His people. Here on this earth, brothers and sisters, we need to be working, desiring the gospel to go even to our worst enemies. But we have to understand that in the day of justice, we will rejoice in the just judgment which God brings against those who have fought against His church. Those who have fought against Christ, who have done great evil in this world. God will judge, and God judged the Assyrians, God judged the Babylonians, and God will judge. And there will be joy in that judgment. When we think of those who have been martyred, those who have been, you know, abused in so many ways because of the evil of people in this world, God will judge rightly. He will cause His glorious voice to be heard to show the descent of His arm. God would destroy the Assyrians at His word. But also remember that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God's Word would descend into this world. And Jesus, by the way, is the judge at the end of the world. So that as the nations rage and the people plot vain things, God will judge. And He will destroy them. He destroyed the Assyrians. He destroyed the Babylonians. He brought His people through. Yes, it was hard. It was difficult. We are pilgrims here on this earth. The voice of the Lord will beat down Assyrians. He will strike it with a rod. Of course, that reminds us of Psalm 2. Ask of Me and I will give the nations to you for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Remember, the potter's vessel was spoken of earlier. God will judge. And God will bring punishment on the wickedness. But He brings chastisement of His people. And He brings that to joy. In every place where that rod, that staff of punishment passes, which the Lord lays on him, will be tambourines and harps. God will bring joy in salvation in Jesus Christ, in His joy, in the truth. In a world that ran after foolishness and sinfulness and evil, God will bring joy. But then we also hear about Tophet. The humble shall increase their joy to the Lord. The poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. God brings His gospel out. That is one of the things that we seek to do as a congregation, to bring God's gospel to a world that needs it. That is so full of lies. That is so full of speaking smooth things. So full of false ideas of God's. But we need to understand. The terrible one is brought to nothing. The scornful one is consumed who will watch for iniquity. All who watch for iniquity are cut off. God will judge. That God will bring full-on justice in this world, at the end of this world. And it's very poetic, verse 33. For Tophet was established of old, this place of serving and worshiping Beelzebub, worshiping Satan, of sacrificing children. Yet for the king it is prepared. These evil people who rule, if we go back in previous chapters, we talked about Leviathan, that we can't get our hands on, we can't control. Yet for these people, God says Tophet's prepared for them, the place of burning. What is that? Hell. Final judgment. Brothers and sisters, we ought not rejoice from our perspective. We deserve this too. But brothers and sisters, remember that there will be a day of judgment, and those who work evil, who do not turn to Jesus Christ, will receive final judgment. Who's going to kindle it? A fire with much wood? The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, kindles it. God will judge. And brothers and sisters, there are two sides of this chapter. There's the side of those who, yes, fail, but believe on Christ, who often walk away. And brothers and sisters, we do this, don't we? We so easily think something else is more important than God. And there's the side of those who will not turn. Who will not turn to Christ. Who seek and work evil in this world. And brothers and sisters, God says that they will receive the fire that does not end. And so, brothers and sisters, let us run to Christ, who is merciful. Yes, He tears. He brings chastisement on His people, as a father does his children. But God also binds up. The end of that chastisement, of those hardships, is eternal life, is God's blessing. And so we have to understand there are two perspectives on hardships in this world. Are we looking at that hardship in trust in God? Because, yes, I deserve all the hardship, worse than I ever received. Worse than anything we can experience on this world. And yet God tears, but He binds up. But brothers and sisters, at that same time, we also need to have in the back of our minds that we will rejoice at the final judgment of God when He truly judges all of the wicked that's going on in our world. And He will judge it righteously. And they will receive their due. I don't know, back of my mind jumps in joy a little bit when I see some of the stuff going on in our world today. Because we need to understand that evil will receive the judgment it deserves. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we do confess that we have so often run after the things of this world, served the creature rather than the Creator. And we deserve the judgment just as much as anybody else. Yet, Lord, we put our trust in You. We pray, Lord, forgive us for the sake of Christ. We have nothing to say, I'm better. I wouldn't do those things except by Your grace, by Your restraining. And yet at that same time, as we look around this world and we see the evil worked across this world, we pray, O Lord, that we would have a heart to bring the gospel even to our worst enemies, praying for repentance, praying for trust in Christ. But Lord, at that same time, we do look forward to the day of judgment. when those who have worked such evil will receive that which is their due. That you are a just judge, that Jesus will be the judge at the end of time. And we pray, Lord, that you would, as we think of that fact, give us a heart to bring the gospel to this world, which is so under the sway of sin. We pray now, Lord, that you would bless us, that you would receive our prayers, our praises, not because we are worthy, but because Christ is worthy. And we pray these things in his name, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.